been my privilege to be here for this, as he mentioned, Fast Weekend. You get in town late on a Thursday night, and you try to just get things in order and have meetings and do a little training and have a class together. And we become fast friends. I'll tell you what's easy for a preacher, and you preachers understand this for sure. What's really easy for a preacher is you come into a church where they already love Christ.
Yeah.
They already love the Word. They love their preacher. They love people. They love fellowship and all those things. And so when someone comes to stand and teach and preach and all those elements are already happening, it makes me feel like I'm right at home when I stand behind a pulpit like this. Because you are welcoming that person. You're welcoming that fellowship and that friendship. And we're already friends. I told Rodney earlier today, brother, I already love him. You know, and I'm glad that I've got to meet all of you. And I like to meet people and remember their names. And we're going to try this real quick. Brother and Mrs. Dirksen, okay? Noah, Bonnie. I don't know any of your children, obviously. Didn't meet them. We got Dave right here. And then Pastor and Miss Jennifer and their children are Gabriel, Julia, Virginia. Olivia, Virginia, and Daniel. Then there's Caleb and Alyssa. Mike, just met you. Then there's Alex back here. Jan and Jim, that's easy, J and J. Then Art's back on the back, and then Rodney right here. And I met so many of you today, and all you got to remember is one name. That's not fair. But when you're in pain, you pray for Brother Aiken. Get it? Oh, my Aiken back? Yeah. You pray for me. But thank you so much for being a willing vessel for God to use you in this church. He's going to use you in ways you can't even imagine. I promise you that. Amen. Just be willing, be usable for God, be a clean vessel, and be available. I think I learned a long, long time ago the two greatest abilities, dependability and flexibility. Dependability and flexibility. If you can depend on people coming to this church, preacher, they'll flex their schedules where they can be used of the Lord. And so praise the Lord for that. RU is discipleship through and through. We talk about, of course, issues that people have. But we don't concentrate on the issue. We concentrate on the solution.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus Christ. And he has the power not only to keep you saved, which he does, he has the power to sanctify you. Here's a piece of wood right here. This piece of wood somewhere down the line was a tree. Now think about that for a minute. You know, 100 years ago, 85 years ago, whatever. I don't know how old the church is. I don't know how old the pulpit is. But let's just say in perspective, 50 years ago, this was a tree somewhere. Okay? So that tree somewhere was cut down over here in the western part of Montana, perhaps, and was taken to a sawmill and was formatted and formed into a nice piece of plain wood. Well, somebody had an idea, you know what? That piece of wood could be used for a sacred desk somewhere. So let's form it together. And they did a nice job of the little doojigger grooves down here, and they put the platform up here for you can put a nice cup of coffee there when you're preaching, maybe not, but water and so on. And they made it wide enough here for a Bible and so on. That piece of wood was a tree initially, right? Is it a tree now? No. It has been set apart, sanctified, to be used for a sacred meeting like this. And praise the Lord, that's exactly what God does through the RU ministry. Those that were trees and gnarled and just sitting in a forest and pining away, if you will, pining away, just nothing to do in life and don't want anything to do with anybody. God says, you know what? I still love that person. And he uses you and I to knock on their door or hand a track over here or give a gospel track over there. They come in and God changes, not only changes their life, Mike, he exchanges their direction. Wow. Praise God for that. So now they have been set apart to be a vessel unto honor for God. That's what RU does. We teach and preach the 10 principles, which are all biblically based, by the way.
Right.
We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And I love the fruit bowl here. I love that illustration here, that analogy. It's a fruit bowl. You and I get to choose and pick from that. But you know what? I'm not just picking love. God's going to give me all of them.
Hey.
He just will. And then it's not about the addiction. It's about the relationship that the person's going to learn to have with a person called Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So it's been a thrill and a joy to be with you all, folks. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I don't want to go back home. I don't. This is a home away from home. And you pray for us. God has been so good. Next, I've got two different churches right now ready to start a chapter. I mean, if the Lord does that, and he certainly can, we can honestly start a chapter a week in a church, Pastor.
Wow.
And God using people just like me and you. We're not special, but you know we're special to God. And he just wants to use us. Be available. Be flexible. Be available. Be spirit-filled and watch God use your life. Take your Bibles, please. We're going to turn over to anywhere because it's all good. But take your Bibles, please. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And when you find Ephesians 4, would you please stand? Ephesians chapter number 4 for the respect out of God's word. Ephesians chapter number 4. I'm worried about Alex. He hasn't found Ephesians 4 yet. Man, stand up. It's after the book of Galatians, Alex. There you go, brother. Yeah, you're welcome. Ephesians chapter number 4. I want you to look with me in verse number 17. Ephesians 4:17. Here's what the Bible says. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want to preach this evening on this subject: detach from darkness. Detach from darkness. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the word of God. The power that lies therein is available to us. Oh, may we see that. May we realize that. May we recognize that, the identity that we already have in Jesus Christ. We know the world, the flesh, and the devil are constantly bombarding against the people of God. The world doesn't see it because they're lost. But the people of God, if we could realize how much of a spiritual battle and a spiritual warfare that we're in, that we're fighting. But we're on the winning side, Father. Thank you for that. And I pray you'd give us the wherewithal and give us the spirit and give us the power and the desire to do the right thing, to live righteously and godly in this present world. Help us to detach from the darkness of the world and look into your wonderful, glorious light so we can have victory day after day after day, moment after moment after moment, and give you the glory for all of that. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Recently, my daughter, back in 2020, said to me, and I said to her around Christmas time of 2019, I said, man, your dad just wants to lose about 20 and 20. I want to lose 20 pounds, 20 and 20. She goes, there's a good plan you can do, Dad. There's exercises you can do. There's walking you can do. Sure, I'll walk from the refrigerator to the living room, to the refrigerator, living to the kitchen, and so on. You know, that was supposed to be funny, thanks. But yeah, there's exercises you can do. There's all kinds of good stuff you can do, Dad. Stay away from the fatty foods and all kinds of stuff. And I said, okay, that sounds pretty good. She goes, but there's one thing you need to stop doing, Dad. I said, okay, I'm listening. She said, you got to stop going to Culver's and quit having ice cream. Oh, no. Ice cream? Culver's ice cream, if you've ever been out in the Midwest, oh, it's the best in the world. And I said this morning, a concrete mixer, you mix that thing up there, put blueberries and raspberries in there, mix it real good. You stick a spoon in there, turn it upside down, that spoon ain't going nowhere. That's a good ice cream mixer right there. I love that. She goes, Dad, you can lose 20 and 20 if you decide to give up ice cream. I said, now you're meddling, Molly Ellen. Leave me alone. I'm going to go back to Culver's. I'm not going to tell you what happened in 20, okay? I did not lose 20 and 20. I gained, anyway, but yeah. So I needed to learn to detach from that fatty type of food and those things like that. And it was a hard thing to do because it's so easy to enjoy the food like that. So we talked about going on a diet. A diet? Yeah, I'm on a seafood diet. Help me. Anybody with me now? Yeah. Now, if I see food, I'll eat it and I'll be enjoying that. And so I'm just simply saying there are things in our life we have to learn how to detach from. We can go on a spiritual, a worldly diet and get away from the world if we choose to. God wants to use you. The more that you are transparent with God, the more open you are with God, the more clean you are with God, guess what? The more of the light of His glorious gospel shines through you, the more light of the Spirit of God shines through you, the more transparent we are. But the world gets in the way, doesn't it? Are you with me? Can I get a witness? Yeah. Your flesh gets in the way, doesn't it? Oh, it sure does. The devil, he always is in the way. You know that. So I'm just simply saying this evening, we're going to talk a little bit about how to detach from the darkness of the world. How do I get on this diet? Well, I got to learn how to have right appetites. I've got an appetite for ice cream. I don't have an appetite for asparagus, just to let you know. I don't have an appetite for broccoli. Anybody like broccoli in the room? Yeah, you fell off of Mars too, just like I did. Jan, you like broccoli? Good for you. I'll eat it in a soup with a bunch of crackers on top and shredded cheese on the top. That's about the only way I'll eat it with that way. But, you know, these are things I don't necessarily like, but they're probably good for me. But I've got to learn how to have the right appetite. Here's what an appetite is, ladies and gentlemen. The natural desire of pleasure or good. The desire of gratification, either of the body or of the mind. So I've got an appetite for ice cream. Is it gratifying? Yes, when it's done. But 2 a.m. comes and so does the bottle of Tums. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Just like the grace of God is for the spiritual life, a bottle of Tums is for the physical life. Amen? Anyway. So a desire is a strong desire. It's an eagerness or a longing. All of us have a hunger. We have hunger pangs. You parents in the room with your children, they can't skip a meal. It's only been 2 hours since lunch. I got to eat again. Am I right, folks? Yeah. You teenagers? Amen. Hello. Yeah. We're that way sometimes too. Maybe we make 3 or 4 hours to have do that. But there's a hunger. What's a hunger? A hunger is an uneasy sensation occasioned by the want of food, a craving of food by the stomach, a craving appetite. It's any strong, eager, or desire. What's a desire? Here we go. Just give you some definitions here. A desire is an emotion or an excitement of the mind directed to the attainment or possession of an object from which pleasure, whether sensual, intellectual, or spiritual, is expected. My desire is this for me in my life, is that I would always want God. I would always want to be in His presence. I would always want to pray. I would always want to read His word. I would always want to tell others about Him. That's my desire. And ladies and gentlemen, the right desires don't come natural. If I had my way, I'd sleep till noon every day. Can I get a witness? Yeah. I would put a barbecue pit in my bedroom. I would put a refrigerator in the bedroom. I'd never have to leave my room. Hallelujah. Noah, good night. But that's not the right desire. That's just a want. Okay? And my wife wouldn't like it too much if barbecue smell was in the bedroom and flames were hitting the ceiling. She wouldn't like that too well. Anyway. So God wants you and I to have the right desires. He wants us to have the right hunger. He wants us to have the right appetite. He says in the Beatitudes there in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Wow, how are we hungering tonight? How are we thirsting? The world's alluring, you know that. Oh my goodness gracious. We want to be here 24/7. Anybody want to come back tomorrow at 6 o'clock? How about Tuesday at 6? How about Wednesday at 6? Sure we do. We'd love to do that. But lives are lived. We got things to do in life. You understand that. So it doesn't mean that we can't have the right desire if we're not around God's people. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in and works His work in you. He gives you the right desires to perform His work all day long, even if you're not around godly people. But the world allures us. You know that. The word of God will endure, hallelujah. I'm going to make it rhyme, I'm a preacher, right, Alex? The world will endure, the word of God will endure by faith in Jesus Christ, I am secure. Let's say it together, ready? The world will allure, we know that. The word of God will endure, the faith of Jesus Christ, I am secure. So allure, endure, secure, for sure. Amen, put that one on there too. So this practical progression that the Bible is showing us this evening, it's pretty simple. I can pretty much in 4 statements, we can be done in 5 minutes and go home and have ice cream. Amen? But give me a few minutes of your time. I would appreciate that. Thank you so much for being here this evening. Ephesians 4, back over to Ephesians chapter number 4. The Bible says here, in order for me to learn to put off the things in my life, I've got to learn something first. If you're in your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 19. Number 20. Here's what verse 20 says. But ye have not so learned Christ. Now, there's things I don't need in my life. We got here late Thursday night, and I was hungry, and the pastor took me to the greatest Golden Arches place in the world called McDonald's. 11:45 at night. Hallelujah. Boy, I did not like that about 3 a.m. on Friday morning. Or 6 a.m. on Friday morning, you know. But I was hungry, and I desired that. Had the wrong hunger, obviously. But I'm just simply saying I shouldn't have done that. But I didn't learn my lesson, apparently, by not eating that anymore and so on. And so, you know, we're going to have times in our life where the right desires are going to come in your life. We're also going to have times in our life, and don't kid yourself, we're in this flesh. We don't have to live after the flesh, but we're in the flesh, and sometimes the wrong desires will invade our minds. You understand? Sometimes the wrong desires will invade our heart. Do you remember my illustration this morning? Anybody remember my illustration this morning? Hey, send me that picture, will you, Alex? Yeah. I've got to guard my heart. Wait, that's my head, Brother Aiken. It's my meditator. My meditator is here. My meditator is here. Years ago, Brother Dirksen, I was working on a sermon. The name of the sermon was this. Hey, devil, keep your stinking rake out of my taters. Out of my meditator. That's what I wanted him to do, and I still want him to do that. So we've got to learn Christ. Learn Christ. How do I learn Christ? Read his word. How do I learn Christ? Get to somebody who's godly. Talk to somebody who knows Jesus Christ, who knows the Savior. If you're saved in this room this evening, you can be a disciple and a recovery help to someone else. Don't kid yourself and think, well, I don't have a degree. I don't have a suit and tie. I don't have a toupee. Yeah. I don't have all these looks. I don't have all those things. If you love Jesus and you love people, God just gave you the two prerequisites to help people. Amen. And you can disciple people other than 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
Right.
You can disciple people Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Because they're going to call you. Hey, how you doing? I'm doing okay. Well, how's it going with you? I got an issue. I got a problem. Hey, could you pray with me? Sure. What you just did, you just discipled that person. You took them to the Word of God, gave them an answer that they needed, and gave them some hope and some help, didn't they? Didn't you? Yeah. So everybody in the room can disciple each other. All of us can disciple each of us. But each of us, please take the opportunity to disciple all of us. And you can do that, ladies and gentlemen. And God's going to use you to do that through this program like this, through this wonderful church here. Recently, I had an article in a paper that's a local paper in our town. And this columnist wrote this regarding adolescence and social media. Let's give you a few bullet points here. What's triggering about social media? Youth and the technology expert, Amanda Lehart's 2015 Pew study of teens, technology, and friendships reveals a range of social media-induced stressors. Seeing people posting about events to which you haven't been invited. Feeling pressure to post positive and attractive content about yourself. Oh, that was a nice ball game you played. That was a lousy ball game you played. Do you follow what I'm saying here? Okay. Having someone post things about you that you cannot change or control. In addition, even more challenges. Feeling replaceable. If you don't respond to best friend's picture quickly or effusively enough, will she find a better friend? That's the world we're living in. That's the young people we're living in, young adults, if you will, that we're living. These are who we're living with. Those that are opposing themselves. Well, they didn't like me. They didn't say this. They didn't look at me. They didn't shake my hand. They didn't do all these things. And now these young people and young adults are under stress. Adults are too as well. But they're under stress for no reason. That's why it's so important for us to be very, very careful what we allow in here and in here. The world is right here. I can't stand it. I can't take it anymore, Brother Dirksen. I just can't. The world is right here. But most people won't respond to you until you send them a text first, I guess. Can I come visit you? You better call me first. Can I come pray at your house on Tuesday night? You better call first. I might not be there. That's just where we're at. And then the world gets in the way. I'm about to throw it down. But the world gets in the way. The flesh gets in the way. The devil gets in the way. We're just talking about young people here in this particular article. She said this, nearly 90%, let me back up. Does social media cause poor mental health, or does anxiety cause teens to immerse themselves in Twitter and TikTok? It's a good question. According to research, it could be a bit of both. Nearly 90% of teenagers and adolescents active on social media have witnessed cyberbullying, it says. The number of sexual assault cases related to social media continues to rise dramatically. 2020 had a lot to do with domestic violence, drinking, alcohol, suicide, everything you can name, all that. That all escalated during 2020. People were isolated. And they were going absolutely crazy, preacher. They sure were. Teens who spent at least 3 hours a day on social media experienced depression or anxiety. I'm talking teenagers now, trying to deal with teenagers. My wife, when she was reading this, she says, yo, tell those kids to get outside. Tell those kids to walk around the block. Tell those kids to put their phone down. Tell those kids to decompress. Get off the TV time and so on. My chiropractor told me just a few days ago, he said, he's in a one of his five-minute blurbs, he said, what most people need to do is turn the TV off or social media off at least 2 hours before they go to bed. Huh. Decompress. Read a book. Relax. Because the last thing we see on TV, if it's news and bad news and all that, guess what? We're dreaming. We're turning over and over. Oh, why did I see that? Just decompress. Relax. He's what he's saying. Now, that's the world looking at what they're trying to help with and try to do with teenagers. What's the Bible say? The Bible says I need to detox. Not one word in here was about detoxing from it, but it said just kind of slow down and back off of it, really. But not one word. The Bible tells us to detach from it. Detox from it. Depart from iniquity, the Bible tells us. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he tells us to purge the iniquity. How do I purge it? Cut it out. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, if you're offended, if you have lust in your eye, it's better for you to go into the kingdom with one eye out and one eye in than for you to continue down the path of lusting. It's exactly what Jesus said. What was Jesus basically saying? He says, cut it out. Detach from what the world is trying to allure you to do. Amen. This is practical for us this evening. Three things I want to share with you, and then three other things, and then 17 different points, four different illustrations. We're going to have a video, too. We're going to be here at about 9 o'clock. No, I'm absolutely kidding, and you know, Brother Aiken, if you've known me for 5 minutes, I'm a kidder, I'm a joker, and I appreciate all of that, and I just like to have fun with people, because you can have fun as well. If you want to dish it out, I've got the microphone, and I'll take it, but I'm going to give it back to you. But anyway. What is the solution? The solution is to learn how to live crucified. We talked about that this morning, Galatians chapter 2. But I've got to learn how to detach. What is detach? To separate or disunite. To disengage. When I was growing up, Noah, I've got 10 brothers and sisters. We lived on the southwest side of Cleveland, Ohio. And we had a house there at 4513 West Franklin Street. The garage was not attached. It's what you would call a detached garage. So my parents tried to help us and not give us so many sweets. You ever beg for sweets, kids? Boy, isn't ice cream good? What's your name right here? What's your name?
This is Declan.
Declan? Do you like ice cream? Hallelujah. You like apple pie? Hallelujah. You like fudge? Hallelujah. You know what he's getting for lunch tomorrow, don't you? No. Sweets are good, aren't they, Declan? Oh, yeah. But I can't eat them too much because it's going to make something happen on the inside of me called indigestion if I do that or something else. So we lived at this house, detached garage. My parents would allow us to have one hostess, right? Hostess cake a week. It was either one of the apple pies or the King Don's or the ho-hos and stuff like that. You know, sorry. One a week. Now, mind you, there's 8 kids living at home at this time. So they had the key somewhere hidden. They would go to the garage, unlock the garage, go to the refrigerator, unlock the refrigerator. The bottom was the cooler, had all the stuff in the bottom cooler. And we could get one a week. Okay, great. But my parents were not home one day. This was about 50 years ago. I know I look young, thanks a lot. But it was about 50 years ago. My parents were not home. My older brother got an idea. Hey, guess what? You want some sweets, Dale?
Yeah, I want sweets. Yeah, I want them.
He goes, here's what we're going to do. He knew where my dad hid the key. So he gets the key, and we're walking out to the garage, and we're sneaking out to the garage. West side of Cleveland, there's a half a million people over there. Live on that side. So we're sneaking out there, we're gonna do this. Open the garage, get in the refrigerator, unlock the refrigerator, pull it out. Dad'll never miss them. And he had them lined up with the apple pies here, the cherry pies here, the King Don's here. My dad was meticulous. I guarantee you he would have missed them. So my brother gets a couple for me and him and my sister and my other brother and so on. And he tries to make it all back where it looks like nothing was taken. Puts it back, locks it, locks the garage, comes in the house, and we're enjoying all these goodies. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Oh, a couple days go by, and you know, when you're a little kid, you think, I'm never going to get caught. That's not going to happen to me. A couple days goes by, and my dad is pitching a fit. Over what? Hostess apple pies. Who took the apple pies? I didn't, Dad. Glenn's like, I didn't. Bill's like, I didn't. Well, somebody took them. I think he might have found a wrapper, too. And he said, who took the apple pie? I didn't do it. Somebody's lying. Okay, you're going to get it. Okay, I'm going to get it. So not only did my older brothers get it, but they turned around and said it was Dale's idea. I'm 7 years old. Really? Really? So I get busted. I get a whooping, my comeuppance, you know. Glenn gets a comeuppance. Billy gets a comeuppance. Ron, Dee, we all get a whipping. But only one was guilty. That was Glenn because he went out and stole him in the garage, even though I was his accomplice. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I'm just simply saying, that's a detached garage. It was away from me, so I wasn't tempted by that. It's the same exact way spiritually. I've got to detach from the world, get away from the temptation of the world. Even though it is alluring, I've got to detach from that. I've got to turn my back on that. I don't want that desire anymore. And God certainly knows how to give us the right desires, doesn't he? Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37. Here's what our Bible says. Psalm 37, and look at verse number 3. Psalm 37, verse number 3. The Bible says this in Psalm 37, verse number 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That word it in verse number 6:5 is the same word as the word desire in verse number 4. Now read it as an English sentence, okay? Follow along when we look here. Delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Okay, great. Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring the desire to pass. He's basically saying here that I'm going to gain the desires that God gives me if I'm trusting in him, following him. If I've detached from the world, he'll give me the right desires. But the world allures. Integrity is what you and I will do in the dark when nobody else is around. That's also good godly character, by the way. Well, if I'm around God's people, I can do the right thing. Okay. If I'm not around God's people, then the Holy Spirit's still with me, Brother Dirksen. The power of God's still in my life. If I choose to yield to that, then I can still do right if I'm not around those that are doing right. I feel for some of our young people, and probably some of the young people in this room, of this church, probably go to a public school. And it's not an easy place to be for a 14-year-old boy or 14-year-old girl in a public school, 10-year-old for that matter. Those are rough areas now. Wasn't that way 40, 50 years ago? But we've seen the world change so drastically. So here's a young man, a young lady trying to be godly in an ungodly environment. Well, you pray for your young people. Pray for them. You may work a job out there where it's all ungodly and it's all worldly, and pray for each other as well that God will give you the desires to do the right thing so you can detach from what the world's trying to throw at you. You're one of them Christians? It's interesting. When they find out you're a Christian, they attack you even more. But that's okay. I've got the shield of faith. Hallelujah. I've got the breastplate of righteousness. Praise God. I've got the helmet of salvation. I certainly do if I choose to use it.
Amen.
If I choose to use it. Also, not only should I detach from the world, I've got to detox from the world. Detoxing is this. It's a process or period of time in which one abstains from or rids the body of toxic or unhealthy substances. It's called detoxification. Detoxification. The three areas, and please listen to me, the three areas that are going to mess with us the most when we're trying to stay thoroughly right with God, especially if we've just come out of an addictive lifestyle, sinful behavior, if the three areas are going to mess with us the most are this: movies, music, and media. Movies, music, and media are filled with worldly pleasures, ungodliness. I can't even name some of the groups. I won't even talk about any of their songs. That's all a bunch of garbage and filth. But the music, the movie, and the medias, it's all worldly, it's all humanistic, it's all against God, it's against nature, it's against rules and authority, all of that type of music is. And when that, in a movie, and you see it in movies as well, you also see it in media, it's trying to control our minds, you understand. What it does, it messes with our mind, it messes with our meditations, it messes with our motives, which causes us to have malice toward another, meanness, and mistrust, all because of what we heard or what we saw on a movie, media, or music. The king of music, when he was in heaven, was the devil. When he came to earth, the Bible says he took 1/3 of the angels with him. Is that right, Brother Dirksen?
That's right.
1/3 of the angels. And those angels, for thousands of years now, have been wreaking havoc on the emotions and the meditations of the world. The world is duped if they're lost. They're duped into thinking it's okay to live that way and act that way. It's coming out more and more and more. Hallelujah, you and I have got to stay godly. We've got to stay spiritual. We've got to stay righteous. I don't care if the whole world turns. Brother Hagin, don't you just want to go with the flow? We can't go with the flow, ladies and gentlemen. We can't. We've got to fight against it. I don't mean physically and have fist fights. I don't mean that. I mean spiritually. We've got the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness. We have the helmet of salvation. We're fighting against these things spiritually. We have to detox from it. Let me give you a couple of different things regarding music. In the 50s, it tickled us. In the 60s, it tempted us. In the 70s, it tortured us. In the 80s, it transformed us. I'm talking about worldly music now. In the 90s, it tarnished us. In the 20s, it teased us. In the 2010s, it is now trampling us. That's the digression that music has gone through. Oh, was it fun back in the 30s and 40s? Maybe it was. I don't know. I didn't live back then. I have no clue under the sun. I'm just simply saying what we've allowed in this country, we need to get some courage back and say, wait a minute, you can't play that here. You can't listen to that here. We shouldn't do that. We need to have some courage and fight against that biblically with the Spirit of God and the power of God and understand where in the world we've got to be thinking and acting right. That's why I love to hear a violin and these Christian songs and these congregational songs. Oh, praise God for that. Never get used to the good old gospel songs. Never. I sing specials at my church, and probably the newest song I've ever sang was probably from 1973. Probably. I love to sing those old songs. I love them. Down from His Glory. Love to sing that Ship Ahoy. I love to sing that. It's Sheltered in the Time of Storm. I love to sing that one. In Times Like These. I love to sing that one. Those are all the old doctrinal songs. Let's stay with them. What do you say? Let's stay with them. Let's detox and detach from the world. That's what the Lord wants us to do. How do I do that, Brother Aiken? I got to learn Christ. I've got to learn Christ. How do I learn Christ? I've got to put off some things. You see your Bibles here, chapter 4. Look at verse 22. He says, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. You're going to see the word conversation here 3 different times in this portion of Scripture. It's interesting. When a person decides they're not going to do the right thing, you know, it comes right out of their mouth, doesn't it? We didn't used to have, 40 years ago, you didn't have email. You didn't have Twitter. You didn't have Facebook, MySpace, YouTube, you didn't, all Snapchat, Instagram, Pinterest. You didn't have any of that stuff. We didn't need any of that stuff. So when a person was trying to do what's right, it's thus saith the Lord, I'm going to be a testimony, and now you hear it from their lips, I'm doing the right thing. But conversely, when they do the wrong thing, when people want to do the wrong thing now, they just go to social media. I didn't like the sermon Dale Aiken preached, period. Won't bother me in the least. I'm not a mouthpiece for you, I'm a mouthpiece for God. I didn't like what Pastor Inboden preached on last Wednesday night, Thursday night, whatever day it was. I didn't like that. Doesn't matter to him. He's going to preach, thus saith the Lord. And when a person turns from God, they want the whole world to know it. Isn't that interesting? That's terrible that they would do that. That's the world we're living in. We've got to learn to detach from that, detox from that, depart from that. The Bible says to mark those who are against God. Mark them. Say, wait a minute. You're not with me, are you? You're not trying to get me to come to your side, are you? Hold it, time out. You may be my friend, but I can't allow you to be my friend anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the hardest areas that you and I will deal with. When I stay completely and thoroughly right with God, it's hard to give up old friends, is it not? Sure it is. Because you want to see them saved. You want to see them come to God. But you can't go hang out in the bar with them. You can't hang out over on the street corner where you smoke a cigarette. But it was a good sermon. You're on fire for God, aren't you? Yeah. You know, you can't do that. I'm being facetious. But I'm simply saying, we got to learn how to teach those others, disciple them, teach them also how they can live godly as well. So I got to put off a former conversation. The Bible says in verse 25, put off lying. Verse 26, put off anger. Put off entertaining the devil. Put off stealing. Put off corrupt communication, he says in chapter 4, verse 29. There it is. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Corruption of communication is what's going in here is going to come out your lips. Years ago, it was called the Geico effect. Anybody been old enough to remember those words? Garbage in, garbage out. But I love to converse that, Mrs. Dirksen. Goodness in, goodness out. If I'm filled with the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the gentleness, goodness, if I'm filled with all those, it's going to come out.
Amen.
You squeeze me, love might come out. You squeeze me, gentleness might come out. You squeeze me, if I didn't like the cat that day, goodness might come out. I'm just kidding. But you squeeze us as God's people, we want those things to come out. But if I've been trampling around the world, you squeeze me, guess what? Filth comes out. Communication, corrupt communication, lying, stealing, anger, all that comes out because I'm now affected by the world. I don't want to be affected by the world anymore. Anybody in the room want to be affected by the world anymore? No, you don't. You want to be affected by Jesus Christ? I believe you do. But he says detach from it. Depart from it. Detox from the world. Bitterness. Look at chapter 4, verse 31, please. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We live in a very dissatisfied, discontented, angry world. People get angry for nothing. Nothing. I walked in before you. How come you got to get ahead of me in the grocery store? What? I was number 17. Why'd they call number 25 up to the DMV? What? Because I prayed before I walked in, or I don't know. But yeah, that's where people's anger levels are for the craziest reasons. We've got to learn to teach them. We have to teach ourselves. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach us as well. I have to stop fighting for my rights. Please listen. I've got to stop fighting for what I think I deserve. I'm a victim. I deserve it. I was born in Ohio. Boy, am I in trouble. Man, help us. You know, that's where our mindsets are. It's what people think. I was born this side of the tracks. I'm from the north. I'm from the south. I'm from the east. I'm from the west. That's just where the world is. We've got to stop fighting for our rights. We have to stop fueling our righteousness. I've got to stop fueling, my righteousness. I don't have any righteousness. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 3, I don't have any righteousness. The only righteousness that I have that I can brag about is from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because now I have his righteousness. I have his peace, his love, his joy. I also have to stop funding my rebellion. I've got to stop fighting for my rights, fueling my righteousness, and funding my rebellion. If I wanted to give up sin right now, you know I could do that by the power of God?
Amen.
I could. I really could. But it's not me giving it up. It's me putting my focus back on the faithfulness of the Father and getting my focus off of the frustration of the flesh of the world. I'll say it again. I've got to put my focus on the faithfulness of the Father and get my focus off of the frustration of the flesh and the ungodly world. That's how I learned to detox from the world.
Amen.
Then how do I, if I'm putting off all this stuff, Brother Aiken, what's my next progression here? You see it. He says, put on. Practically, I got to learn Jesus.
Amen.
Practically, I got to put off what I don't need. Practically, look at chapter number 4, look at verse 23. The Bible says here, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He simply says there, renew your mind. Learn Christ, put off the old man, renew your mind. Fourthly, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the new man. Put on the creature that God created you to be in Christ Jesus. Yes, I said that right. You and I are creatures, Caleb. Help us. You look at the Bible there. You see the word peculiar, the dictionary. You see the word peculiar. There's a picture of Dale Aiken beside there. I'll promise you. Go look tomorrow. It's right there. You see the word peculiar. You see the word strange. You see the word alien. You see the picture of Caleb in there. Griner. There he is right there. I'm just saying we got to learn Jesus, renew our minds, put off the old man, and then put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on this new man. How do I do that? Renew the spirit of my mind. How do I put on the new man? Learn Christ. You learn Christ. Every time you walk in these doors and sit in these pews, your pastor's going to stand right there. Some man of God's going to stand right there, and he's going to teach you about Christ.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Lord.
I've got to have a desire to learn. Don't ever get to the place in your life, ladies and gentlemen. Don't ever get to the place in your life where you think you've learned it all.
Right.
No. Where you think you've arrived. No. We won't arrive until we get to the feet of Jesus. And you know what we're going to do, Noah and Bonnie? We're going to get to the feet of Jesus. We're going to bow before Him and say, I don't even deserve to be here, Jesus. Thank you so much for allowing me to get here, because I tried to learn about you in the church. I tried to learn about you on my knees. I tried to learn about you in my devotion time. I tried to learn about you from other godly people as well. What else do I need to learn? I got to learn truth, verse 25. I need to learn the righteousness of God. Put on the righteousness of God, verse 24. Put on the holiness of God, verse 24. I've got to be kind. Look at verse number 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I've got to learn how to be kind. I've got to learn how to be tenderhearted. Real men have tears. Real men have compassion. Real men have godliness. Real men have holiness. They have righteousness. They are a follower of God, chapter 5, verse 1 says. They're a follower who they walk in love. They edify each other. Look at verse 29 of chapter 4. Let no communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I believe that's what teaching and preaching is, and one-on-one fellowship and discipleship is. We're here to edify, build up one another.
Amen.
So much more as you see the day approaching. You're not going to get edification from the world. You're not going to get spirituality from the world. We'll get it here. We'll get it amongst God's people. Now, how do I do that? I'm going to take 6 minutes. We're going to talk about delight. So you detach from the world. Detox from the world. Depart from the world. Depart from iniquity, he says. Purge it out of your life. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to do all those things. And then we're going to find ourselves. What's the result of that? I'm going to learn how to delight in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. What is delight? It is a high degree of pleasure or satisfaction of mind and joy. It's a delight when I can have a Culver's ice cream. Are you with me? I had lunch today at Pizza Ranch. My personal opinion, the chicken's better than the pizza. My personal opinion. But I had pizza and I had chicken both. And I had a couple other things as well. And I had mashed potatoes and gravy. Ooh, hallelujah. What else did I eat? I don't know what I ate. But I missed the ice cream. I missed the ice cream. Now, where was I going with this illustration? I don't know. Delight. Yeah, I was delighting in the fact that I enjoyed this lunch. I delighted the fellowship with the pastor and his family. I delighted that. I delight being around God's people. Do you? It's not a chore to me. I hope it's not a chore to you.
No.
Oh, no, I got to see them again. Oh, no. The world, there's something how the world tries to treat themselves better than we do in God's house. Shame on us. Shame on us. Man, I want to walk in here bouncing. That knee, left knee hurts. I won't bounce too much. But I want to walk in here bouncing and expecting God to do something because He's doing something. He's going to continue to do something. I want to be a part of that. I want to get under the spout where the glories are falling out and the blessings are falling out. I want to be a part of that. And I won't be a part of it if I'm not around God's people. If I'm not delighting in God. That's what he says here in chapter number 37, verse number 5. He says, therefore, he says, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Plain and simple. What a formula. His delight is in the law of the Lord, Psalm 1:2 says. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Delight also means that which gives great pleasure. That which affords delight. So I got to learn how to delight. It's a more permanent pleasure. Listen to this. It's a more permanent pleasure than joy.
Yeah.
And not dependent on sudden excitement. Mm-hmm. I'm a football fan. I'm a basketball fan. I like to watch college more than pro, but that's neither here nor there. But I like good competition. And I'll sit there and watch and get excited. My wife says, what are they doing? Are they going to go to third base? No, honey, this is football, not baseball. Anyway, she doesn't understand a clue about anything. But she enjoys the fact she can sit with me and think she knows football. Anyway, and so I'm watching. I'm getting excited. And Cincinnati, I was really hoping Cincinnati would win that game a couple weeks ago. My wife's from Cincinnati. She grew up in Milford, Ohio. First Baptist Church of Milford, Dr. Charles Keene. Yes, sir. And she grew up there. So I'm for Cincinnati. And they blew it. They missed their opportunity to get there. And I was so excited that they lost. No, I wasn't. I was not happy. I wasn't delighting. I wasn't happy. But that's just surface stuff.
It's exciting to hear that a Bill picked up a phone and said, hey, I could use a ride to church. Hallelujah. He shows up today. The preacher goes and gets him. It's exciting that Mike started coming here and somebody won Mike to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's a delight in God's sight. It's a delight for you and I to see things like that. It's a delight when somebody's preaching the word of God. At least I hope it is for you. But it's a delight that somebody can open God's word. I get to hear it. I listen to more preaching throughout the week than anything under the sun.
Amen.
Now, I listen to a lot of the Bible too. But I listen to truth. I've got to have truth. I've got to have it. Because I'm dealing with people that have addictions that are opposing themselves. They don't even know what truth is, Alex. They have no clue what truth is. And I get the wonderful privilege to show them what truth is. And to show them how to apply the truth to their life so they can delight in the Lord. Take your Bibles, please. Proverbs chapter number 8, and we'll finish here. If you and I are not yielded to the Holy Spirit, we will not want to live godly. If you and I are not yielded to the Holy Spirit, we will not want to please God by faith. Well, I'll yield tomorrow. No, when He gives us an opportunity to give something up in our life, ladies and gentlemen, as I talked about this morning, the crucified life, we've got to learn to give that up immediately. We've got to learn to give that up immediate, at a moment's notice. The Holy Spirit says, no, what I have to do is say, okay, I won't do that. But the flesh is strong. The world is alluring. It's pulling me over there. I don't want to go over there, but it's pulling me over there. But the Spirit of God and delighting in Him is much more beneficial than what the world can ever offer. I'll say that again. The Spirit of God and delighting in Him is much more beneficial than what the world can ever offer. Proverbs 8, look at verse number 30. This is wisdom talking, which is Jesus Christ. I love Proverbs 8, 9, and 10. Talks about that much, much wisdom there. Look at verse number 8. Proverbs 8, 30. There we go. Then I was by him, as wisdom was saying, as one brought up with him, I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Before Jesus Christ came to earth, he was in heaven with the Holy Spirit, with God the Father. It says here, I was his delight. God looked at Jesus and then delighted in him. Jesus looked at God, delighted in him. The Holy Spirit delighted in that conversation. When we get to heaven, we used to say this, preacher, Brother Dirksen, we get to heaven, they will have a VHS player. I think they're going to have a DVD player now. I don't know. They're going to have an MP3 player. I'm sure. They're going to have something like that. We're going to see all these events. I believe that wholeheartedly. And I'm going to see the conversations that God had with Jesus and Jesus had with the Holy Spirit. Because they're talking about how they're going to form man, how they're going to redeem man, how they're going to bring man back to himself. They're talking about those things. But that's not what the point is here. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Not only does God delight in Jesus and Jesus delighting in God, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men.
Amen.
Anybody saved tonight? Hallelujah. Can I get a witness? Are you saved this evening?
Amen.
He says here, you learn to detox from the world. Detach, depart, delight in me, and I'm going to delight in you. Don't you want God's stamp of approval on your life? Don't you want to find favor with God? Proverbs 3, turn there, our last verse for tonight. Proverbs 3, please. Look at verse number 3. Look at verse 1. It's all good. This is so good. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them about the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Huh. He says he's going to delight in me. If God is not delighting in you tonight, it could be we haven't detached from the world. It could be we haven't departed from that iniquity that is constantly plaguing us. It could be that we haven't decided to detox from things that we really don't need. Oh, he wants to delight in you. Don't you want to delight in him? Let's detach from the darkness.
Amen.
Let's do that. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. No one moving except the pastor, of course, and the piano player is going to come. Father,